Good evening. Thank you very much for joining us tonight for our time of ministry in the Word of God and our Bible study. What a wonderful God we serve, an amazing God we serve. It's such a joy and a privilege to be able to come together again, together with the saints tonight around the Word of God. I really want to thank you. Wherever you are joining us from tonight, whatever platform, wherever you are in the world, thank you for being a part of this service. I'm always so overjoyed, so excited to get around the Word and to teach. And there's so much, always so much that the Lord has given to us, so much revelation, knowledge in His Word, so much rhema, so much clarity. And it is definitely a privilege tonight to be able to minister the Word of God to you. As we have always done. So thank you. Let's bow our heads. Let's share a word of prayer together. Father, we come before you tonight. We are so thankful to you and so grateful for everything that you have done for us. This is a privilege of a lifetime to be able to come again into your holy presence, to discuss, to share, to teach your word, to receive, to study together with the saints. And I thank you, Lord, for everyone that you've gathered, those that are here with us in real time, those that will join us later, those who will listen to this teaching in the future. Father, we bless them all. I pray, God, that you're loosing my tongue. Give me grace, great grace, to minister your word tonight. I pray for all of your people. Grant them understanding. Help us to not be weary in well-doing. Help us, Father, to be able to continue to press forward into everything that you have prepared and everything that you have ordained. I give you all the glory and I give you all the praise. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you so much again. God bless you. Hallelujah. It's so precious. So awesome to be able to serve the Lord. I hope you have your Bibles. I trust that you are excited tonight. We have been studying for several weeks the theme that we have titled, The Believer's Authority and Dominion. Believer's Authority and Dominion. So much in the Word of God. And we have just wrapped up spending several weeks, several sessions, just discussing the revelation of the resurrection. And we have established this. The resurrection changed everything. And everything began at the resurrection. It was through the resurrection that Jesus received his authority. It was after the resurrection he received his authority to be the Messiah, to be able to save man, and then to be able to impart that same authority that God the Father had given unto him to everyone that would accept him as Lord and Savior. That is an established truth. And if you are just joining us tonight on this series of lessons, thank you. But you would definitely do yourself a great service to just go back over the last 3, 4, maybe even 5 weeks and get a good foundation, because without that foundation, everything else we say and everything else we learn and everything else we teach will not really carry the substance for you. It will for those who have been with us and who have been studying the Word of God with us, but you definitely do need a point of reference. You need a foundational basis for everything that we are going to be discussing going forward. The believer's authority and dominion. Let's press forward tonight as the Holy Spirit grants us grace and helps us. Let's start out from Matthew chapter 28. We have read this a few times already. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, all authority. Now, some translations, as we have said over the last few weeks, some translations use the term all power. But as we have explained already, that word translated power in some of the older translations, especially like the original King James, that word translated power is the Greek word exousia, authority. We've talked about this. So Jesus said, he came and he spoke unto them, saying, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them, verse 20, to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always. Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Even unto the end of the world. Amen. I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Glory to God. Let's read verse 18 in the Amplified Version. Jesus approached, and breaking the silence, he said unto them, all authority, all power of rule in heaven and on earth has been given unto me. Go then and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you all the days, perpetually, uniformly, and on every occasion, to the very close and consummation of the age. Amen. Amen. So let it be. That is the Amplified rendering of the scripture in Matthew chapter 28. Well, there are a few things we are moving forward to talk about tonight and learn together. I did give in a couple of our previous lessons, I gave like a skeletal outline of some of the things that we're going to be discussing together and learning and growing in together from the Word of God. And tonight, we're looking at Jesus has all authority. Jesus has all authority. And Jesus gave you his authority. He delegated his authority to you and to me, the believer. Jesus has all authority. Jesus delegated unto you and to me, to every believer, his authority on the earth. And Jesus knew that you and I would need his authority to function on this earth. These are the three areas that we're starting with tonight. Now that we have established the place of the revelation of the resurrection, the place of the resurrection of Christ, three major areas that we're beginning to get into. Number one, Jesus has all authority. He has all authority. Number two, Jesus gave you, a believer, me, his authority. And number three, Jesus knew you and I would need his authority to function on this earth. He knew that. That's why he gave us his authority. All right, Jesus has all authority. We have established that from the discussions and the studies on the resurrection. His resurrection conferred unto him the authority of God. That's why it was after his resurrection. In this scripture that we just read in Matthew chapter 28, it was after his resurrection that he came and he spoke unto them, breaking the silence. He said unto them, all authority, all power of rule in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Period. All authority, all power of rule in heaven and on earth has been given unto me. Of course, the word authority, as I said earlier, in the Greek is the word exousia. And it's a combination of a number of different words. In the Old Testament, the word dominion was used a lot in place of the word authority, but they essentially mean the same thing. Dominion, authority. Authority means delegated power to act on behalf of somebody else. Delegated power to act on behalf of somebody else. If you have observed, I know all of us have, in most developed countries, when there is a trooper, a police officer, who stands in the middle of the road directing traffic, and traffic is coming right and left, or sometimes front and back, and sometimes from everywhere. And that police officer, and this is the case in most developed countries, the same way it is in most developing countries around the world, really most places around the world where there's organization in government, you have the power of rule. That policeman who stands in the middle of the road directing traffic does not have the power, that is, the might, to literally stop the cars that are coming. He does not have the might, the strength, I should say, to literally stop the cars from moving when he wants them to stop. What that police officer has is authority. That is, there's a power that is backing him up. What is this power? The power of the state, the power of the government. That power backs him up so that he does not need to get into a brawl or into a physical fight with the drivers of the cars that are coming and going. In order to maintain order, all he needs to do is to stand in his position and exercise his authority. The authority that he has is delegated to him by the government, by the state. That authority is recognizable by all citizens. And when he stands in his place and he gives orders to commuters, to drivers on the road, everybody has an obligation to respect, to recognize, to respect, and to obey the directive that the police officer gives. His authority is delegated to him. He doesn't represent himself, he represents the higher power, the government. He represents the state. He represents a higher authority that everybody knows. And when he stands there, he stands with that understanding that he has that authority. He stands there operating at that level of understanding, so there is no question of his authority. As a child of God, you need to have understanding of your delegated authority. This is why we have been taking so much time to study the theme, the believer's authority and dominion. We need understanding. That is why in Ephesians chapter 1 from verse 15, we've read that particular passage now quite a number of times. And you will see me alluding to it. You see us referencing it as we move forward. I will not necessarily read the whole thing. Sometimes maybe I will if I need to. But that is why in that scripture, Paul the apostle was praying for the church that the eyes of our understanding will be enlightened. You will see as we go forward how powerful, how necessary, how required it is for us to have understanding. He did not just pray that the eyes of our understanding will be enlightened. He also prayed that we will have the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. He also prayed that we will know, we will have a revelation of the exceeding greatness of God's power, that was exerted, which he wrought, the King James uses, King James version of the Bible uses, which he wrought when he raised Jesus Christ up from the dead and set him far above all principalities and powers in heavenly places. That understanding of our authority in Christ is very crucial. If you don't have that understanding, Satan will cheat you. Satan will take advantage of your ignorance. You know that Old Testament scripture, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. What causes most people on this earth to suffer unnecessarily? And when I say most people, I'm basically talking about believers. What causes most believers to suffer unnecessarily on their journey is a lack of knowledge and a lack of understanding of the things, the privileges that are available to them in Christ Jesus. In Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6, the Bible says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you. You shall be no priest to me, seeing that you have forgotten the law of your God, and I also will forget your children." A lack of knowledge and a lack of understanding is one of the principal reasons why a lot of people suffer unnecessarily in their life's journey. Jesus said, "All authority has been given unto me." Let me ask you, if all authority has been given unto Jesus, is there any other authority elsewhere that Jesus does not have? No. No, the simple answer is no. No. Jesus said, "All authority has been given unto me." Therefore, if all authority has been given unto him, it means there is no other authority anywhere else. There is power. There is some power in some places. Certainly, the prince of the power of the air, the kingdom of darkness, does control some power. No question about that. You know that. You know that. If you've been around for any amount of time, you've seen the work of the devil. You've seen the power of the enemy at work in so many different spheres of life. So he does have some power. But Jesus has all authority. He's the ruler. He's the king. He's the one who has all dominion. He's the king of kings. He's the Lord of lords. He's the mighty God. He's the savior of all flesh, of all men. Jesus is. And he said, "All authority has been given unto me." Then what was the next thing he said? "Go ye." Right? He said, "All authority has been given unto me, all power of rule in heaven and earth." Then in verse 19, he said, "Go then," in the King James, he said, "Go you therefore and teach all nations." In the King James, in the Amplified, he says, go then. What does that mean, go then? Well, based on all the authority that I have, I'm now commissioning you to go and do some work for the kingdom of God. How do we get this work done? First, what is the work? Obviously, the work is a continuation of his own assignment on the earth. Now that he is leaving, he's commissioned his disciples to go and continue his work. How do we get that work done? Well, his authority. That work includes so many things. But in Mark chapter 16, you see this again. This is another one of those scriptures we have read over and over again in some of our lessons. But the Lord actually broke it down right here in Mark chapter 16 and in verse 15. And he said unto them, "Go you then into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." Glory to God, we are saved. He says, "And then these signs will follow them that believe." We are saved because we believe. We are saved because we believe. Amen. And then these signs shall follow them that believe. How is that even possible? How is that guaranteed? How is that ensured? It is ensured by his authority. He said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given unto me. So how is it that these signs will follow them that believe? Because all authority has been given unto him, and he in turn has given that authority to his believers. And that's how these signs follow them. Look at the signs. These are the works of power that follow every believer. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they shall cast out devils. In my name. Glory to God. There's great power and great authority in the name of Jesus. There's great power and great authority in the name of Jesus. The Bible says he has been given a name that is higher and far above every other name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee must bow. Every knee must bow, and every tongue must confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. The name of Jesus produces signs and wonders. The name of Jesus will heal the sick. The name of Jesus will deliver the oppressed. The name of Jesus will bring comfort and healing to those that are troubled. The name of Jesus will bring restoration and deliverance to those that have been lost or those that have been held in captivity. The name of Jesus will open the eyes of the blind. The name of Jesus will stop situations that the enemy has taken charge of. The name of Jesus. He said, in my name, they shall cast out devils. So obviously, the name of Jesus will drive out devils. He uses the term, the King James does, uses the term devils loosely, because there is one devil, but he has a lot of emissaries. He has a lot of demonic spirits that follow him. He has a lot of demonic spirits that do his bidding on the earth. Principalities and powers, spiritual wickedness in high places, rulers of the darkness of this world. These are demonic spirits. Just as there are angelic beings in the atmosphere all around us, there are evil demonic spirits that Satan has sent to represent him on the earth, to do his bidding. Hallelujah. To do evil on the earth. In fact, in the Amplified, so you see the King James says they will cast out devils. It's really, there's just one devil. But this devil has so many agents, so many personalities that are working at his behest. Some of these personalities are spiritual, cannot be seen. You can't see them. You can only see their work. These are the ones that are called demons or demonic spirits. All the ones that I've just quoted a minute ago, principalities and powers, rulers of the darkness, of spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. These are all spiritual beings that are resident right here on this earth. They are resident right here on this earth, and they create things that can be seen. In my name, he said, they shall cast out devils. However, there are also demonic spirits that actually take hold of the lives of human beings. And you can see the effects. Some of those effects are a bit more dramatic than others. There are some human beings that the devil or demonic spirits have taken hold of, and you can see a lot of dramatic things happening in those lives. And you know they are demonized. You know that they are under the control of a lot of satanic spirits, a lot of demons. Some of it is quite dramatic, like, you know, witchcraft spirit, witchcraft people that are into the occult, into witchcraft people that, and sometimes you see a lot of dramatic demonic activity in lives of people that are mentally disturbed. And you can't see the spirits, but you can see the effect. You can see the effect of demonic spirits in things that happen all around us. You can look at the lives of human beings. People, maybe someone is drug addicted, alcohol addicted, in constant, repeated depression, suicidal tendencies, and a lot of other dramatic things. Those things are controlled by demonic spirits. They are spirits. I know sometimes people hope that through science and through some other ways, people who are tormented by demonic spirits can find relief. And yes, science does help a lot. Medicine definitely helps a lot. You know, there's a lot of help for psychiatric patients in hospitals. Right? And, you know, science, medications can help suppress a lot of things and help hold back the effect of some of these demonically inspired things. But honestly, saints, the only thing that can completely drive out the devil from territories that he occupies, drive out demonic spirits from territories that they occupy, the only thing that can do it is the power of God. To drive them out and bring complete release. The only way that happens is the power of God. So yes, the King James says they will drive out devils, but actually more literal translations, more contemporary translations don't use devils, use maybe demons. Look at the Amplified. In the Amplified, it says, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And then in verse 17, it says, and these attesting signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. In my name, they will drive out demons. Well, it is very obvious that the way they drive out these demons is by exercising the authority that is in that name. The way they bring release to the oppressed is through exercising the authority. Notice that they will drive them out. They will drive them out. I know that several years ago, I had the privilege and the opportunity to minister to a young woman, a mother whose husband had brought to our ministry. This woman was plagued. She was tormented by demonic spirit. And she had been taken to the hospital several times. Of course, she was getting psychiatric help, and it was helpful as long as she did some of the things that she was told to do. But unfortunately, you know, she would relapse several times. She would get back down, and you know, and this was a cycle. Satan loves cycles. If you look in your life and there's anything there that seems like a cycle, a pattern, things that happen over a period of time, cyclically, they happen maybe in yearly intervals, or 2 yearly, or 5 yearly, or they happen at certain times in your life, certain seasons or transitional times in your life, there are demonic spirits at work there. Satan works in cycles. He works in patterns. That's why you see even generational things are repeated. They are repeated generation after generation because Satan works in patterns. Well, this woman will relapse periodically, and she'll stop taking her medication, and the problems will start all over again. And I remember when her husband brought her to us, and we sat down and ministered to her, talking about how the power of God releases the oppressed and sets the captives free. That is really an awesome thing to behold. I'm telling you, if you have ever experienced it, if you have ever seen it, if you have ever witnessed it, it is truly a wonder to behold. It is truly a wonder to behold. There is no telling, you cannot explain it in words. Hallelujah. But the power of God, the power of God can set the captives free. And I remember we were, you know, we will talk about even that process of setting the captives free somewhere later on as we study along. Because the Lord may have you a part of these studies, a part of these lessons, not just for yourself. Like I said, I've said the last 2 weeks, sometimes just taking your place of authority is beneficial, not just to you, but so many other people that are either connected to you or that will become connected to you or that you will have the opportunity to minister to in the future. Hallelujah. The power of God is really the only thing that can do a thorough work of releasing the oppressed from captivity. Thank God for medicine. Thank God for medical science. Thank God for you know, everything that is possible. Technology is great. It's a blessing if it's used right. Advances in technology and research and a lot of things bring a lot of help to the human race. Praise God. But ultimately, my brothers and sisters, the only thing that really gets the job done and does it permanently and does it finally and does it completely is the power of God. You remember the scripture in Acts chapter 10 and verse 38, where the Bible talks about Jesus, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 10 and verse 38, how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Look at this scripture here. How God, Acts chapter 10, verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. What does it mean? He healed all that were oppressed of the devil. He set them free. He set the captives free. You remember at the beginning of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, in Luke chapter 4, when he went into that temple and picked up the scriptures to read, he began to say, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And Isaiah actually prophesied about this and in Isaiah chapter 60. But right here in Luke chapter 4 and verse 18, he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord, to preach deliverance to the captives, to heal the brokenhearted, to preach recovery of sight, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to announce release, the Amplified says, announce release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to send forth as deliver those who are oppressed, who are downtrodden, bruised, crushed, and broken down by calamity. You know, folks, a lot of times we see things in the lives of people, and if you're not careful, you know, we have this physical approach, this mentally driven intellectual approach to situations that we see in a lot of people's lives. And we don't realize that many of those things that we're actually seeing are an outplaying, they're an outward showing of spiritual torments that are being executed by Satan and his emissaries. People tormented in their minds, people tormented in their spirits, people tormented in their lives, people just can't break free, can't seem to break free. And they try so many different things, and they try this and they try that, and sometimes they have a little release for a while, but you know, before long they are right back there, and there's just yokes and oppressions and all of that in real time in the lives of these precious people. And if you're not careful, we relate with those things mentally, intellectually. Many times we don't readily recognize how deeply spiritual a lot of those things that we're seeing, even some of the habits that people grapple with in their lives, a lot of those things are really deeply rooted in spiritual things. Of course, we know, we recognize, we know when we see deep, you know, things like in the occult, deep manifestations of witchcraft and all these crazy things that sometimes people experience. We readily see, we know, the devil is responsible for that. The devil is responsible for that. Well, in the same way, something that seems as harmless as somebody just being bound by smoking and they want to break free, but they can't seem to be free, they can't seem to stop, they can't seem to, that's deeply spiritual. That's Satan responsible for that. He's held them in captivity. They are oppressed by the habit. Or people constantly in depression, or people in fear all the time, or people tormented in some area of their lives or the other. We relate with those many times mentally, but really it's really the power of the enemy. Satan is at work in those lives. Jesus said, "These signs will follow them that believe in my name." Mark chapter 16. In my name, they shall cast out devils. They will speak with new tongues, he said. Verse 18. They will take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Those are the signs of God's power. The signs of the working of God's power that brings release to mankind. Hallelujah. And the release that is needed a lot of times is at different levels, because the oppression of the enemy is at different levels. Hallelujah. A lot of what Satan does in people's lives has stages. Satan doesn't have the ability to just suddenly jump on somebody and immediately take over their lives. No, he doesn't have that ability. He needs their cooperation. He needs their permission. He needs them to open some doors to him. So Satan he doesn't have the ability to just suddenly jump on people and take over their lives. There's no one, no matter what they're dealing with in their lives, no one suddenly becomes possessed. Satan has a process. A lot of times, this process begins with an obsession over something. An obsession, where many times their minds are just taken over. By the way, the door that God walks through in the lives of most human beings is the door of the heart. It's the door of the heart. Man is a spirit. He has a soul and he lives in a body. God relates with us through our spirit being, through our heart. God is a God of the heart. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 27, the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord through which he searches all the inward parts. God relates with us. The door that God recognizes, that God created man with, to interact with man through, is the door of the heart. Man is a spirit. He has a soul and he lives in a body. Guess what? The door that Satan wants to walk through most of the time in most human beings is not the door of the heart. It's not the door of the heart. Satan loves to create alternative doors. He loves to create alternative doors. The door God walks with in your life is your heart. That's how God accesses your life. That's how God blesses you. That's how everything, that you remember, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. It's out of the heart that the forces of life flow. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23. It is out of the heart that the issues of life flow. God is a God of the heart. Everything God will do will begin in your heart. Everything. Everything. Jesus said in the New Testament, remember, it's out of the heart proceed evil thoughts. Amen. So you see, the heart is, that's the factory for everything that will be produced in the life. The power of God, if the power of God will produce in your life, it will be produced in your heart first. Glory be to God. If The authority of God will be resident in your life. It will be resident in your heart first. That's why the word of God teaches us to become established in our hearts in the things of God. To be established in our hearts in the things of God. Every good thing that God wants to do in your life will begin in your heart. Jesus said, for out of the heart proceed. Out of the heart proceed. That's the door that God walks with. God accesses the human life through. Satan, though, is the god of this world. So Satan walks through what is seen, what is felt, what is heard, what is, you know. So he creates alternative doors. The alternative door that Satan walks with a lot of times in most human beings is the door of the mind. Satan won't start with the heart. He will start with the mind. That's why it's so dangerous as a child of God, full of the Holy Spirit, to be so driven by your mind. No, the Bible says the Spirit himself bears witness with us. They that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The Spirit of God himself bears witness with our spirits that we are the sons of God, we are the children of God. The witness of God, the work of God in the life of any human being is in the heart, is in the spirit. How about Satan? Satan's work in every human being begins from the mind. Realize those two distinctions. They're powerful, very important. Hallelujah. And he works in grades at levels, but he always begins from the mind. He walks and walks and walks until something called obsession, until people become obsessed. People become obsessed. We say they become obsessed because their minds have lost total control to that thing. They are obsessed by it. It can be a habit, it can be substance abuse, but it can also be things they want. It can also be decisions they make. It can also be desires they have in life. It can also be relationships they crave for. The devil creates obsession. So he walks in stages. You see some of those things. We'll talk about a few of them. Like I said, it's just never my desire to get too deep, you know, into things. So then we lose our ability to follow them. That's not really our goal. Our goal is to stay in the Word and to learn and to be taught. My time is going here. Usually starts, people get obsessed. It begins with the mind. They think about something. They see something. Satan is the god of this world. He always walks in the realm of the physical, the mental, metaphysical. He always walks in the realm where people think, the intellectual realm, where people are driven by their minds and their emotions. He's called the god of this world. That is his arena. And once he can get you lured into that arena, and he can get your mind so taken up by something, then people become obsessed by that thing. After they become obsessed by that thing, over a period of time, as the obsession grows and matures, after a while, they become oppressed by that thing. They become oppressed because there's a demonic spirit behind it, or some demonic spirits behind it. And they become oppressed in their minds. They become oppressed in their lives because of the demonic spirits that are in those things that are tormenting them. Suddenly, they have no more control. They can't help themselves. They can't help themselves. They are restless. They are fidgety. They've lost control. They've gone from being obsessed to being oppressed. But ultimately, he's not satisfied with just oppression. He really wants to possess. So eventually, he's going to work his way until he can possess those vessels and live in them and rule those lives, not just in the minds, but he rule until they've lost control, not just in their mind, but their whole lives. You remember Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 10, he says, the thief comes, he cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Jesus said, but I am come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. Hallelujah. The word of God says in Mark chapter 16, these signs will follow them that believe. In my name they will cast out demons. We know no matter the power, no matter what's going on in that human life, there is an authority in the name of Jesus. There is an authority in the name of Jesus that can break that spell, that can break that yoke. Hallelujah. It's very important that we have understanding of spiritual things. It is extremely important that we have a clear understanding of how spiritual things work. Sometimes we're dealing with a situation that is really deeply controlled by the devil and by satanic spirits, demonic spirits. But we are fighting those things almost like we think they are physical. That's why the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Amen. Jesus said, in my name they shall cast out devils or demonic spirits or demons. There's authority in the name of Jesus. Oh, it's amazing to see the outworking of the power of God, to see him release the oppressed, to see him release and drive out demons from vessels that have been possessed by them. Remember that woman I was telling you about, the story of that woman that had been taken over. She'd received psychiatric medical help and all of that. But eventually she was brought to our ministry. We counseled with our minister to her. And over time, we'll talk to you about some of this release. I know I started saying that that might be one of the reasons why the Lord has us learning these things and exposing us to these things, so that we ourselves can be proficient, one in recognizing, in understanding, but also in executing freedom in the lives of people. And we'll talk about the ways to set the captives free as we go along. We certainly won't get too deeply into it, but we will talk about it, right? And the Lord gave us the grace, the ability, and we ministered to that woman. I'll never forget it. It's truly a wonder to behold how God set that woman free, completely free. She came into her right mind, a mother who just lost all sense of motherhood. Her children were suffering. She had little children. Children were suffering. She had no, you know what I mean? I know people in developing countries or places where some of these ailments are not properly addressed. You probably have seen some of this. You see people on the streets who've lost their minds, and people, you know, and some of them may even have babies. You know, I've seen that. You know, people have babies and, you know, they still have the maternal instinct to want to take care of their baby, but you see they've lost it completely. That's a dramatic level, a dramatic appearance of the oppression of the devil. But it's not always that dramatic. But the fact that it's not always that dramatic does not mean it is not influenced by a demonic spirit. Satan is the god of this world. He is responsible for every evil at different levels. Hallelujah. You remember, he said, in my name they will cast out demons. There's a man in Mark chapter 5. Let's close out there. My time is gone tonight. Let's close out here. In Mark chapter 5, he's a demoniac. Look at this. Dramatic. But he didn't start here. He didn't start from here. Right? He didn't start here. It was a progression until he became like this. Mark chapter 5. Let's read from verse 1. And they came over onto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him a man out of the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs. No man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken into pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And he was in the tombs, crying and cutting himself. And when he saw Jesus afar off, He ran to him. Now, I don't have a lot of time to read all of this because I want to bring this to a close tonight. But remember, Jesus had an encounter with this man who was demonized, who was under the oppression and possessed by demonic spirit. And in verse 9, Jesus said unto him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." See, Jesus recognized a demonic spirit was responsible for the state of that man. This was a dramatic state. It's not always that dramatic, but a demonic spirit was responsible. Jesus recognized it, and he took authority over it. He said, "Come out." You don't hear him begging the spirit. You don't hear him trying to negotiate with it. No, he said, "Come out." And that's why when the Bible tells us in Mark chapter 16 that in his name we will drive out demons, what he's saying to us is we have received the authority to be able to do exactly what he did when he was on earth. You see that he said, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." And he asked him, "What is your name?" And the demonic spirit answered and said, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And Legion is in the original means that there are thousands of them. Legion, I'm not sure, that maybe 12,000, maybe 6,000, one of the several thousands of demonic spirits. But you see how in this story, Jesus commanded them. In verse 12, it says in verse 10, he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. That's this demonic spirit was pleading with the Lord Jesus. Now there was near unto there a mountain, near unto a mountain, a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, "Send us out into the swine, that we may enter therein." And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place, and there were about 2,000 of them. And the pigs were choked. They were choked in the river, in the water there. And you see right there in verse 15 of this scripture, when people came to Jesus, those who owned the swine, they came to Jesus and they saw him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. Look, a man went from being dramatically oppressed, dramatically tormented by the devil, to a place where he's sitting down, he's clothed in his right mind. And how did that happen? It was not medical science. It wasn't medication. Nothing against medication. Praise God for medical science. It's a blessing. Medical science is a tool that the Lord helps us use to accomplish some of the things that he wants to accomplish on the earth. And sometimes medical science is able to bring the cure, bring the release, but you know a lot of things that medical science can't cure. A lot of things. And sometimes it literally takes the power of God to bring deliverance. Let's close this out here tonight. This man, this oppressed man, remember when Jesus started in his first encounter with him, the Bible says Jesus spoke to the unclean spirit. When we got towards the end of this story, the Bible tells us that there were devils inside him, to the point where we learn that there was a legion, which was several thousand demonic spirits. But notice, it began with the influence of one demonic spirit. This is how Satan works. From walking through the mind and taking over the mind, to being obsessed, to being oppressed, he ultimately gets to this dramatic state of possession where people have lost complete control. But notice, it is the same demonic spirits that are responsible. How is their hold broken? Jesus said, all authority, hallelujah, in heaven and on earth has been given unto me. Go ye therefore. Go do what I have done. Go do what I have always done, what you've seen me do. Take my authority, take it, and go use it. Hallelujah. And these signs will follow them that believe. In my name. Hallelujah. In my name. All authority has been given unto Jesus. And Jesus has given you that authority. Father, we thank you tonight. We give you all the glory and all the praise. Thank you for this service. Thank you for visiting with us. Thank you for your mighty hands upon our lives. Thank you for opening our eyes, enlightening our eyes of understanding so that we can receive your word. I give you the glory and the praise for everyone that has heard and that has studied with us tonight. Let these words, as these words continue as they go on tonight, the next few days, let the glow, let the light of the word of God continually illuminate their spirit. Bless them. I give you the praise for it, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, saints. Woo, what a service. What a service. What a study. What a teaching. It gets better as we go. We're out of time tonight. I look forward to seeing you exact same time next week. God bless you. Good night.